Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bamatsiya daf Chav Tes. We are holding on daf Chav Ches Amud Beis. We read the Mishnah yesterday. We're up to the Gemara right after the Mishnah. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer and honor of his wife and children, and Leila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha LaShalom, Shalom Shav Aliyah. Also, by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Atzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. They should all return home safely. Also, by Rabbi Bruckheimer, in honor of the recent birth of a great granddaughter to Avital and Ellie Pressburger of Carmel Gat. Mazel Tov, he should have much nachas from this new great granddaughter. Also, it's also sponsored in honor of the yard site of Eliezer Noach ben Yecheskel Vitzipora, Leon Kasavsky. He was 102 years old at his Petira in Yerushalayim and was a clear minded Shomer Mitzvos until the end, doing chesed and learning Torah every day from his loving children, Samuel and Maxine Kasavsky, Michael and Ziva Kasavsky, and Judy and David Natan. We thank all of the sponsors very much for these sponsorships. So what we're going to talk about today, the Mishnah had spoken about, if you find a live animal, what are you supposed to do in terms of the care provided for that live animal? So the Gemara is going to discuss at what point you can sell it and just hang on to the money for the bailim, depending on the type of animal that it is. Then the Gemara discusses, if a person sells an Aveda, what level of responsibility do you have for that money? What if that money gets stolen? What if that money gets lost? What if there's an onus that happens to that money? Do you bear responsibility for that? And that's going to be the discussion of all of Amud Aleph. It's a short Amud Aleph. Then the Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to talk about the level of care that one must provide for inanimate avedos, meaning the Mishnah we ended with yesterday was if you find a live animal. What if you find svarim, or you find clothing, or you find other things that are not alive? What level of care is necessary to provide for inanimate avedos? The Gemara is going to have a discussion about the level of care that needs to be provided for either a Sefer Torah that you found or a Sefer Torah that you borrow. The Gemara is then, once we're on the topic of a Sefer Torah, we're going to talk about how many people using a Sefer Torah at one time will lead to a chashash that it might tear, and therefore you shouldn't have that number of people using the Sefer Torah simultaneously. The Gemara is then going to ask a stira, whether shaking out clothing is beneficial for the clothing or not, the stira between two sources, and the Gemara is going to give four answers to resolve that stira. And then at the very end of the daf, we're going to have two bits of advice in Derech Eretz from Rabbi Yochanan. So let's begin at the Gemara right after the Mishnah on daf Chav Chesam Beis. So the Mishnah said that if you find something that's Osav Yochel, an animal that produces, so it sort of carries its own weight, so you don't sell it, let it be Osav Yochel, let it do whatever it does so that it will pay for its own care. So the Gemara discusses, yeah, but how long? For how long do you have to let it pay for itself? And at what point do you say, I just don't want to deal with it anymore, and can you just sell it and put the money away? So it says Mara, Li'olam, is it Osav Yochel forever? So I'm Rav Nachman, I'm Shmuel, no. No, it's at Shnei Masar Chodesh. But after 12 months of having the animal in your possession, so then you could sell it. Tanya Namiachi called over Shosav Yochel Gon part of the Chamor, Mitapel Ben at Shnei Masar Chodesh. That anything that's Osav Yochel, like a part of the Chamor, so it does produce and it does provide some income that will take care of the expenses in caring for it. So good, that works for 12 months. But Mikan Ve'elach, Shem Domeinu Menichan. But after that, you assess how much it's worth, you sell it for that value, and you leave the money aside for the Bala Veda. There is a machlokes Rishonim when we start counting, when do we start the clock on those 12 months? The Rambam says what I would have assumed in Hilchzeil Vaveda, from the day that you found it. That's when the clock starts, on the 12 months, and 12 months later, you're allowed to sell it. However, the Torah in Choshe Mishpat and Reish Samuel Zion says, no, we start the clock from the day that you started renting it out, and after you've rented it out for 12 months, you no longer have to deal with renting it out. But anyway, that's a 12-month time period. That's if it's a part of a chamar. However, a golem, siyachin, that don't do much malacha, or any malacha, metabel ben shalosh chodashim, you only have to deal with them for 3 months before you sell them. Mikan ve'elach, shom demeinu menichan. You assess what they're worth, and you sell them, and you put aside the money. Avosim v'tarne golem, if you have chickens or geese, metabel ben shloshim yom, then you only have to hang on to them for 30 days. Mikan ve'elach, shom demeinu menichan. And then you sell them, and you put the money aside. The Achronim asked the Maram Shif, asks in the back of the Gemara that the Brisa sounds like that you have to sell something, whether it's Osa, whether it's Eina Osa V'Ochel, and the whole Chiluk is how long you have to take care of it until you sell it. Whereas the Mishnah said that something that's Osa V'Ochel, you don't sell, that you only sell something that's Eina Osa V'Ochel. So it's a stira between the Brisa and the Mishnah. So the Achronim answer that the Mishnah means to say that if the Motzei wants, he's allowed to hang on to it as long as it's Osa V'Ochel and he doesn't have to sell it. But something that's not Osa V'Ochel, he has to sell right away in order that the Bailim shouldn't lose out, because you're going to be deducting from what you return to that, meaning the Bailim is going to be running up a bill if the animal's not Osa V'Ochel, because you're going to have a lot of expenses in taking care of this animal. So that's not fair to do to the Bailim, so that you'd have to sell right away. Anyway, Amrav Nachman Yitzchak Tarnagolas Kibay Magasa. If it's not a Tarnagol, but a Tarnagoles, meaning a female that actually lays eggs, that is a din like a Behe Magasa, where we assume that it's Osa V'Ochel, and therefore you need to deal with it for 12 months. Because if it's laying eggs, it's taking care of itself in terms of producing something. Tani Namiyachi, Tarnagolas Kibay Magasa, and the Brisa, in fact, puts them explicitly in the same category, that a tarnagolas and a bei magasa mitalba and shemas chodesh mikan ve'eluch sham domain menicha, and then after 12 months you can assess what it's worth, sell it and put the money aside. A golem musyachin mitalba and shalshem yom mikan ve'eluch sham domain menicha. Avos mitarnagolim v'kol davar shetipulim merubim mischaro. Anything that the expenses of taking care for it are more than what they can earn, mitalba and shalshem yom, you only take care of it for 3 days, mikan ve'eluch sham domain menicha, and then you sell it and put the money aside. But frankly, more wait. Now that we quoted this brisa as a Tanya Nami Achi, because it puts the Tarnagolas and Beim Agasa in the same category. But when it comes to other types of animals, it's a stira to everything we just said. Kasha Agolim Siachim Agolim Siachin. The first brisa we said Agolim Siachin you deal with for 3 months. This brisa said 30 days. And Avazim Tarnagolim, Avazim Tarnagolim. First brisa said Avazim Tarnagolim you deal with for 30 days, and this brisa said for 3 days. So it's a double stira. Says Mar Agolim Siachim Agolim. Agolim Siachim is not a kasha. Hadarayu, the brisa that says that you deal with them for 3 months is talking about a case where you happen to own a field where they can easily graze, and there's stubble growing in that field. They could easily graze on, so it's not such a big tircha to take care of them. Whereas Vahat, the Petuma, the brisa that says you only have to deal with it for 30 days and not for 3 months is talking about a case where you have to take care of it from whatever you have in your house, because you don't have a field that they could easily go graze in. And Avazim V'Tarnagolim, Avazim V'Tarnagolim, Nani Lo Kasha, and it's also not a stira by Avazim V'Tarnagolim, Habe Ravarvi, Habe Zutri. The way Rashi learns this is that the Brisa that says that you deal with them for 3 days is talking about very large Avazim V'Tarnagolim. They eat a lot, so it's a big expense. Take care of them. You don't have to deal with that for more than 3 days. Whereas the Brisa that says you have to deal with them for 30 days is talking about very small ones where it's not such a big expense to feed them. Shittim Gvetzes quotes Ramach that says the opposite. Which would make more sense that we would have the brises in the correct order. That avazim tarnagolim that are very large, since they could be menaker biashpa, they can find their own mizonos half the time, because they can go around the ashpa and find stuff. So therefore, it's not going to cost too much to take care of them. So for them, you have to take care of it for 30 days. Whereas small ones that can't fend for themselves at all, and you're going to need to be feeding them the whole time, so that you only need to deal with them for 3 days. That's how Shittim Gvetzes learns the opposite of Rashi. Then the Mishnah said, "Sheino Osa V'Ochel." If it's not able to produce anything that will make money to provide for its own care, so the Mishnah said you could sell it. So Tanur Rabbanan, we have a brisa. Torah says, "Vashivosalo," and we darshin re'e heich tishivenelo. They have to work hard to return the aveda properly. Shlo yachil egel agolim v'sayech l'siyachin avzal avazim tarnagolin. You don't sell one egel in order to use the money to feed other agalim, and by the same by all other types of animals. You want to make sure that all the money is intact to be able to do Hashavas Aveda properly. We then said, Mayyehe B'damim, Rabbi Tarfon Omer Yishtami. So then the end of the Mishnah had said, okay, so you sold the animal, so what happens with this money? So Rabbi Tarfon says, well, until the guy shows up, you could use the money for whatever you need, and therefore, if the money ever gets lost, it's your responsibility to replace that money. Whereas Rabbi Kiva said, no, you put the money in a safe deposit box somewhere, you don't touch it, And therefore, if it ever gets lost, if something happens to that money, it's not your responsibility. So ad kan lo pligi, the whole machlokas Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon about the achrayes of motza aveda is elokishin shamish ben, is only because of, this phrasing is a little misleading, it doesn't mean it's only if you actually use it, but it's only because there is a heter to use it, meaning if there's a heter to use it, so then you're chayiv b'achriyusam, and if there's no heter to use it, you're not chayiv b'achriyusam. Avlon shamish ben, if you don't have a heter hishtamshus im avdu pater, then if it gets lost, it's going to be pater. But the whole nukudas amachlokas about your responsibility if it gets lost is not really about that. It's really about, are you allowed to use it? If you're allowed to use it, then it naturally follows that you have a greater level of responsibility. If you're not allowed to use it, it naturally follows that you have a lesser level of responsibility. So leimatavit yuftu to Rav Yosef. But wait, this seems to be a kasha on Rav Yosef. The itmar shomer aveda, if a person is watching over an aveda, rabba amar kishomer chinam. Rabbi says that he has the status of a shomer chinam, and therefore he's going to be Potter on Gnev Aveda. He's only going to be Chayef for Pshia when he's a Shomer Aveda. Whereas Rav Yosef, Amar Kishomer Sachar, Rav Yosef says that he's like a Shomer Sachar. He's Chayef on Gnev Aveda. Why is he Chayef on Gnev Aveda? Why is he like a Shomer Sachar? No one's paying him. Well, yeah, if an Ani comes and collects Tzedakah while he's being Osek in the Aveda, while he's taking care of the Aveda, he's going to be Potter from giving the Tzedakah because he is Osek B'mitzvah. Osek B'mitzvah is Potter from another mitzvah, so he's going to save the couple of bucks that he would have given the ani at the time that he was dealing with that, and that makes him a shomer sachar. So this is a kasha on Rav Yosef, because in our mishnah we said that if you're not allowed to use the aveda for your own purposes, then you have no chiyuv of achrayus on that aveda. We don't make you like a shomer sachar that you're going to have to that you're going to be chayiv and gnev aveda. Whereas Rav Yosef says in a classic aveda you're not allowed to use for your own purposes. In a typical aveda where you're not allowed to use it for your own purposes, you are a shomer sachar and you're chayiv and gnev aveda. So Rav Yosef is against the equation in our Mishnah. Now both Rabba and Rav Yosef, where they argue about the level of Chiyuv Shmira that a Shomer Aveda has, that a person who finds an Aveda has, agree to the basic premise that there is a Chiyuv Shmira, that it's not just a Chiyuv Hashava. Where does that come from? Where does it say in the Torah that you have a Chiyuv Shmira? Maybe I just have to do Hashava and I don't have a Chiyuv of Shmira at all. So Pnei Yeshua says, yeah, it's a Svara, obviously, if you're supposed to return it, you have to have what to return. If you're not Shomer at all, and you're totally Pasheya, then you're not going to have what to return. The Ketzos, however, says that the Makar is from a Pasuk. Pasuk says, that's why he says, a kol zman that you didn't make a kinyan meshicha on the object, you don't become chayiv in the shmira, because a shomer is only chayiv in the shmira once you do a kinyan meshicha. So v'asavta b'toch b'secha means when you bring it home, now you have a chayiv shmira. So it's not from the moment you identify the aveda that you chayiv in shmira, it's only when you do a meshicha on the aveda, when you do an actual kinyan on the aveda. In Baruch Ber, in the Baruch Shmuel, quotes from Reb Chaim that the din of shomer aveda is learned from the hemshech of the pasuk. Says, v'hayimcha adrosh achicha oso, that it should be with you until someone looks for it. So vayimcha means it should be with you, meaning you need to take care of it, and it has nothing to do with a maisa kinyan. You don't need to do a mishicha. As soon as you find the aveda, you now have a responsibility to take care of that aveda. So that's the premise of the machlokas between Rabba and Rav Yosef. Now, Rav Yosef's idea that you become a shomer sachar is elaborated on in the Gemara Maseches Baba Kama on Daf Nun Vav. The Gemara gives two reasons why you're a shomer sachar. The simpler reason is that the Torah is meshabed you bal karcho to be shomer the aveda. And the schar that you're getting is in Minas Shemayim. Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to pay you back for doing what the Torah says you're supposed to do, for doing a mitzvah. So since you're getting paid Minas Shemayim for doing a mitzvah, Kodesh Baruch Hu gives you schar. So that's what makes you Shomer Sachar. The more complicated explanation is the one that we mentioned, that you become pater from giving a pruta to an ani while you're being Shomer the Aveda, and Mimela, that makes you Shomer Sachar because you're saving that money that you'd have to give to an ani. Within that shita, though, there's a machlokas rishonim. When exactly are you pater from giving a pruta to an ani? Right, I found an aveda 6 months ago. It's sitting very nicely and safely in my house for the last 6 months. 6 months I was pater from tzedakah because I'm a shomer aveda for the last 6 months. Anytime someone comes and collects tzedakah from me, does that carry over to matanos legionim also? I mean, I'm pater from tzedakah that whole time. It's hard to imagine. So Tosfos writes that no, you're pater from giving a pruta lo ani when you are osek in the aveda. We don't say I'm a kaye mitzvah pater min a mitzvah. We say osek b'mitzvah pater min a mitzvah. So if you're actually actively, physically doing something with the aveda, it's not mistab Haver to say that anytime you're being Mekayim a mitzvah, you're part from other mitzvahs. And Tosfos famously gives the example. He says, well, I'm wearing tzitzis right now, so maybe I shouldn't have to do another mitzvah all day because I'm done wearing tzitzis. I'm already doing a mitzvah. So osik mitzvah, part of a mitzvah. Elamai, no, I'm not being osik in a mitzvah right now. I'm being Mekayim a mitzvah right now. So the Rashba, however, says that from the Ravid, it sounds like that that when you're Malda al Mashkon calls man that the Mashkon is Berushus, so you're Pata from the Pruta. So Maracha Zeruah writes that therefore Shomer Aveda also would be Pata from Pruta to give to Unani. Calls man that the Aveda is Bibeso, calls man that he has the Aveda in his house, he would be Pata from giving that Pruta to Unani. You would have to say, not that he's Pata from Tzedakah entirely, but in a situational Tzedakah, that when an Unani comes and asks, but there is a broader chiv of tzedakah, that X percentage of your money, somewhere between 10 and 20% of your money, should be going to tzedakah that you find, that you seek out yourself of where to give the tzedakah. There's a separate chiv that if an ani presents himself to you, that you have to give such an ani tzedakah. But anyway, back to our Gemara. So our Gemara is saying that it seems to be that the premise of the whole machlokas tanoim in our Mishnah is that if you're not allowed to use the money, then you bear no responsibility for it. Well, that's against Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says when you have an Aveda, you're a Shomer Sachar, and therefore you're Chayiv in Geneva Aveda. You have a significant level of responsibility. Says the Gemara, Amar Lach Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef would respond, B'Geneva Aveda Dukuli Alma Lo Pligi D'Chayiv. No, everyone would agree, both Tanoim, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tafan would agree, that a Shomer Aveda is Chayiv in Geneva Aveda because he's a Shomer Sachar. Ki Pligi, the whole Machlok, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tafan is Ba'onsin to Shoel. Do you have the level of responsibility of a Shoel where you even chayiv in an onus that happens to the money? Rabbi Tarvin Sava Shoel Rabbanu Shamusha Begavayu Vavle Shoel Alayu. That since you're allowed to use it, you become a Shoel on that money. Rabbi Kiva Sava Lo Shoel Rabbanu Shamusha Begavayu Hilchach Lavi Shoel Alayu. And Rabbi Kiva says you're not allowed to use it, and therefore you're only like a Shomer Sachar. You're not like a Shoel. So Gneva Aveda, you're going to be chayiv in, but you're not going to be chayiv in onsin. Shoel, the word shoel implies that you're not allowed to use the money because the difference between borrowing something that you're not allowed to allow the money to leave your reshus. The difference between borrowing something with the lashon of she'ela versus the lashon of halva'a is that halva'a milvez lo tza nitna. When I borrow money, I'm not supposed to hang on to that money. I'm supposed to use the money and spend the money, and then when the person asks for their money back, replace it with different money. When I do a she'ela, when I'm shoel something, so I could use it, but I got to hang on to it. So Tosov here writes that the lashon of she'ela is a borrowed terminology, so to speak. So the lashon of she'ela over here, it really means that you're allowed to do whatever you need to it, even though the lashon of the Gemara is shoel, but you don't have to return that very same money to the bailim. It's money, so you do what you do with money. You spend it. It's only using the term she'ela because we're talking about the dinei shomrim, and in dinei shomrim we know we have a shomer chinam, a shomer sachar, a sachar, and a shoel. So we use the terminology, the dinei shomrim terminology. So that's how Rav Yosef is going to touch it up. That the machlokas tanoim in our Mishnah is not whether the Shomer Aveda is Chayiv in Gnev Aveda. Of course he's Chayiv in Gnev Aveda. It's a machlokas whether he's Chayiv in Onsim as well. Again, the premise of Rav Yosef is that when you're doing one mitzvah, you're pater from any other mitzvah, and therefore you don't have to give pruta to tzedakah. It happens to be Rav Shturmbach has a tshuva, and I think Rav Shlomo Zalman is quoted in Halicha Shlomo saying the same thing, that if a person is in the middle of Tefillah B'tzibur, he's in the middle of davening, and then an ani comes collecting money, you don't have to be mafsik your tefillah in order to give tzedakah to an ani, because an adrabah might be asr to do so, because if you're osik b'mitzvah, if you're in the middle of doing one mitzvah, then you're part from another mitzvah. Of course, if you're not actually davening, if you're just spacing out, and when the ani comes, so you can't say that you can't all of a sudden have the kavana that you weren't having before. But that's the pashtus, is that osik misapatimah. So it says in Shlomo, or Shlomo Zalman used to put a line of shkalim on a shtender so that the aniyim that would come collecting would just take a shekel off of his shtender so that he wouldn't have to actively be osik in the, giving the tzedakah. So anyway, ihachi, if that's the case, that the whole nidon in the Mishnah is only about chiv onsin, lefichach dom Rabbi Kiva lamali. Why does the Mishnah say that? Rabbi Kiva says, don't use it, and lefichach, you're not chayiv in the achrayos. Since you're not allowed to use it, it's a davar pashut that you're not chayiv in own sim. You're not a shoal. Obviously, you're not chayiv in own sim. Well, the yam pishlam gnev aveda who the pligi. If the machlok Rabbi Kiva Rabbi Tarfon was really about gnev aveda, had the Rabbi Kiva lo yishtamish ben, then it makes sense. Rabbi Kiva says, don't use this money lefichach amavduay nuchayiv bachriuson. And therefore, I'm saying a chiddush that if they get lost, you don't have to pay for it. Because salkadai tachamina. Because I might have thought Shomer Sachar Avi could Rav Yosef that he has a din of a Shomer Sachar and he would be chayiv in the Geneva Avedo, but Geneva Avedo mechayiv. So Kamash Mulan, that's why the Mishnah would have to tell me lefichach that no, you're not a Shomer Sachar and therefore you're not chayiv Bachri Yusan. But Hashad Amrit. But now that you Rav Yosef are telling me that Rabbi Kiva holds lo yishtamish ben that you're not allowed to use it Shomer Sachar lo havi, you're not a Shomer Sachar lo mechayiv Geneva Avedo, and you're not. I'm sorry. Hashad Amrit, but now that Rabbi Kiva is saying lo yishtamish ben shomer sachar lo aviv lo mechayiv b'gnei v'aveda, you're not a shomer sachar and therefore you're not chayiv b'gnei v'aveda. So that works if the machlokas is about gnei v'aveda. If we're not assuming like Rav Yosef, we're not going to take the premise like Rav Yosef, and we assume that the machlokas tanaim is about gnei v'aveda. So I understand the chiddush of Rabbi Akiva. The chiddush of Rabbi Akiva is to say not like Rav Yosef that you're not a shomer sachar and therefore you're not going to be chayiv in gnei v'aveda. But if you're going to say like Rav Yosef that everyone agrees that you can be chayiv in gnei v'aveda because you're at least a shomer sachar and ki pligi ba'onsin to shoel, and all machlokes we keep in Rabbi Tarfon in the Mishnah is whether you're also chayiv in onsim like a shoel. My lefichach to Rabbi Akiva. Why does Rabbi Akiva have to say lefichach? You're not chayiv b'achrusan. Halchim b'aylin. So what he should have said is Rabbi Akiva amar lo yishtamish ben. Rabbi Akiva says you can't use it. And when I don't give lo yishtamish ben lav shoel avi venu chayiv b'achrusan lefichach Rabbi Akiva lameli. I'll know on my own that if I can't use it, I'm obviously not a shoel, and therefore obviously if I'm not a shoel, I'm not going to be chayiv in onsim. So why does Rabbi Akiva have to spell that out? According to the way Rav Yosef learns our Mishnah, so says Gemara, he doesn't really have to. Mishum lefichach Rabbi Tarfon. He only spells it out because we do need to say the lefichach on the Rabbi Tarfon side of things. That Rabbi Tarfon says that lefichach imavdu chayiv b'achrusan, that you are allowed to use it, and therefore if it gets lost, you're chayiv b'achrusan. That lefichach is important. Lefichach Rabbi Tarfon lameli. What's the reason that the Mishnah has to mention within Rabbi Tarfon that you're allowed to use the money and lefichach if it gets lost, you're chayiv b'achrusan? Hachikamar. So what Rabbi Tarfon is saying is as follows: Kivin deshar le'rabban l'shtamushi begavayu. Since Chum allow you to use the money that you got from selling the aveda that you were no longer responsible to caring for, and you're allowed to sell, it's as if you've already used that money, meaning even though you haven't yet used the money, you sold it, but and you have a heter to use it, we view it as if you've already used it, and therefore you chayv for any onus that happens. That's why Rabbi Tarfon says, because of the heter shimush in that money, therefore you have full level of achrayus on any onus that happens to that money. So the Gemara says, well, wait a second, how could you say the fichach amavdu b'achrayusin means that you're chayiv even ba'onsin, which is the way Rav Yosef is learning the Mishnah, that the whole machlok should be given Rabbi Tarfon is about chayiv onsin. The Mishnah was clear, v'ha'avdu katani. It says the fichach, if it gets lost, Rabbi Akiva says you're not responsible, and Rabbi Tarfon says you are responsible. How can you touch that up to mean that if there's an onus, lost means aveda, gneiv aveda? Sounds very much like they're arguing about gneiv aveda, and they're not arguing about onsin. Sounds to Gemara, sometimes when we use the term gneiva, it means gneiva, and sometimes it means onus. Sometimes when we use the term aveda, it means classic aveda, and sometimes it means onus. Kid the Rabbi, like Rabbi explains in other contexts, the Amar Rabbi, we're going to see Rabbi later on in this Masechta, that Nignavu sometimes means ballista mizuyan. Nignavu sometimes doesn't mean a regular gneva, it means that you were mugged by an armed robber. That's an onus. Avdu shtavasfinos biyam. Avdu sometimes doesn't just mean you were a klutz and you lost it. Sometimes it means that your boat drowned in the sea, which is a total onus. It sunk in the sea. And therefore, we could explain that Rav Yosef is teaching up the Mishnah that avdu means an aveda ba'ones, and that's machlokes Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon. If there's an aveda ba'ones, are you chayiv in that onus? yes or not. But everyone would agree that if it was a classic Geneva Aveda, Rabbi Yosef will tell you all the Tanaim will agree you are Chayiv because you're at least a Shomer Sachar. Amr of the Mishmuel, Halacha Rabbi Tarfon. That we pass on like Rabbi Tarfon, that a Motze Aveda is allowed to use the money that he gets from the proceeds of that sale, and therefore he's Chayiv in the Achrayus of that money. Biyad Rachva, the Gemara tells a story that Biyad Rachva Avalehanu Zuzi Diasmi. Rachva was holding on to money that belonged to Yisomim that was given to him as a pikadon. Asal came to Rav Yosef, so he came to Rav Yosef. He said, you know, I could use a small business loan or whatever. I could use this money. So am I allowed to use it? Is it mutter for me that was given to me as a pikadon? Is there a heter for me to use this money? Now, mind you, this was not an aveda. This was something that was just given to him as a pikadon. It was not an aveda that he had and he was caring for and the time ran out, now it was time to sell it. None of that, it was just a pikadon. So much so that the Rosh says, what is the hava amina that you're allowed to use money that's given to you as a pikadon? Why would you even ask such a question? So the Rosh explains, because he was doing a tova with the Yisomim, that they were samech al shulchano. He was supporting them the whole time. And also, by being able to use it, there's an increased level of achrayus on that money. So maybe that's a favor to them as well, that if he uses it, now we'll have a higher level of achrayus on the money, and now it's a greater guarantee that they're getting their money back if he uses it. So he wanted to know if he's allowed to use the money. So later, Rav Yosef said, "Hachiyam Rabbi Dor Meshmuel halach Rabbi Tarfon." That we pass on the Rabbi Tarfon. That when you find money and when you find something and you have to sell it, you're allowed to use that money. So I guess you could do the same thing over here. That's what Rav Yosef responded. Amalei Abayis. Abayis said to Rav Yosef, "Velavit Marala Amar Bichelba Amar Avuna Lo Shanu Ela Bidmei Aveda." Oh, the Tarach. No, that's only by an Aveda that we said that. Since you're being Tareach in the Aveda prior to selling it, so now you earn the right to be able to use the money once you sell it. Avul Ma'os Aveda. But let's say you just find money to Lotarachbu where there was no Tirch and caring for it or anything. No, you're not allowed to use money that you just find. So Vahani, Kamos Aveda Damu. This is like money of an Aveda. This is a Pikadon. You're not allowed to just go and use this money that you have that belongs to the Yisomim. Samalei, Rav Yosef said back to Rachva, "Zil lo shafkeli dashvilach." Look, I tried, but Abai is not letting me give a heter. I thought I had a great heter, and he's just not allowing me to do it. Now there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Chav Tes that tells us that when you have dayanim that paskin on a case, and let's say it's a 2-1 vote among the Beis Din, where two dayanim vote against the guy and one dayanim votes in favor, the dayan that votes in favor is not allowed to tell the guy afterwards, "Listen, I was on your side. I tried to convince my chaverim, but they were against you." That's a violation of the Selech Rachil. So the Rabbeinu Yohonas on his corner, Shidduk Betz, says, why isn't Rav Yosef in violation of the Selech Rachil over here? He would say, "Look, I was working in your favor over here, but then Abaye came along and so Rabbeinu Yohonas says, because all this happened in front of everybody. Everyone saw the whole conversation. So it wasn't like a secret discussion among the Dayanim. So therefore it's not a violation of the Selech Rachil. Okay. So that was a discussion of if you find an animal. Now the Mishnah discusses, what if you find an inanimate object as an Aveda? So Matzah Svarim, you find Svarim. There's a level of care you have to provide for the Svarim as well. You have to read from them once every 30 days. Because it's healthy for the Svarim to be aired out. So you read for them once every 30 days so that they get some air. You can't give them too much air because then they get used up, right? And if you don't know how to read, so then go. At least roll them once every 30 days. You have to roll them tightly. If you don't roll them tightly, then moisture gets in there and that can ruin the letters also. Meaning one has to be careful about exactly how to take care of it properly. But you cannot learn something that you had never learned before, because we assume that since it's a new topic for you, it's going to take a greater level of iyun, and that's going to leave it open for longer than it's supposed to be left open. And also, lo yikra acher imo. You shouldn't have someone else read from it together with you, because if two people are reading from it at the same time, they're going to be pulling in different directions, and it's a greater risk that it's going to be torn. There is a machlokas in the Achronim. Why the Mishnah should we read into the fact that the Mishnah changed from lo yilmod behen betchila to lo yikra achrimos? The difference between limud and mikra. The Sma writes that limud and kriya, they mean the same thing. You're just not allowed to anything that you've never learned before. You're not allowed to learn before, and you're not allowed to do with another person either. The Rashash, however, says that kriya means without iyun. Limud is bi'iyun, to understand really well. So therefore, the Mishnah changed its lashon. Lo yilud ben betchila and lo yikra achrimo. Because when it comes to limud for the first time, so only limud is aser, kriya is mutter. If it's something you never read before, but you're only doing it derech kriya, you're allowed to do that for the first time. And kriya im acher, even with just kriya alone, is aser, because there's a second party with you. Matzuk sus minara echad shoshim yom. Mishnah says, if you find clothing, shake it out once every 30 days. And spread it out in order to get air for its own purposes of lolut kvodo, but not because you're trying to show off. You have guests coming over and you want to show off that you have these nice garments, so you shouldn't spread it out for your own kavod, only for the needs of the garment itself. If you have silver or copper kalim, you should use them once in a while to the extent that they need to be used, but not to the point that they get worn out. If you find glass or gold, you just leave that. Don't touch it, because there's no reason you should have to touch it. Rashi points out, on top of that, glass is very fragile, so you have to be very careful with that. The Rambam says, forget about the fact that glass is fragile. Nothing will happen to it if you don't touch it. It's not going to rust, it's not going to, so you just leave it alone if nothing's going to happen to it. Matzah sako kupa called over shein darko litol. If you find a basket of some sort or anything that's not that an adam chashuv wouldn't be walking around with, harezah lo yitol. If you happen to be an adam chashuv, and if it was your own item, you wouldn't walk around the streets with this item. So then you don't have to walk around with it, and this is going to be in tomorrow's daf. Zakin veinulufi kvodo. That if it would be beneath your dignity to carry such a thing around, so you don't have to pick up such an aveda. Okay, Amar Shmuel Motzi Tefillin b'shuk shom demei anu manich on the altar. That if you find tefillin, you can assess their value, put aside the money, and then you could use the tefillin to your heart's delight because you already put aside the money to pay for it. Masav Ravina Matzah Svarim Kori Be'Nechel L'Shoshim Yom. So we ask, well, wait, the Mishnah says that if you find svarim, you read from them once every 30 days. V'min Yodei Likros Golulan. And if you don't know how to read from it, at least roll it Golulan in shom demei anu manich on low. But it sounds like the Chamer Matir and Motzi Aveda only to roll the Sefer in order that it shouldn't get ruined, but they never tell him to assess the value of the Aveda and keep it and put aside the money. Says the Kasha and Shmuel, it says by Motzi Tefillin, you can already start using it as much as you want as long as you just put aside the money. So I'm Rabbi Tefillin Bei Bar Chavu Mishkach Shchichi. Because if a person has enough money for Tefillin, it's very easy to find Tefillin. Whereas Svarim Lo Shchichi, it's not always so easy to find Svarim. Meaning Svarim doesn't, they before the printing press, Svarim were not so easy to find because it was a big hassle. That's right, Svarim, even nowadays, right? Meaning Svarim were Sifrei Nach, so it's, there are a lot of Sifrei Torah around. There aren't that many Sifrei Nach around because only those shuls that lay in Haftarah from a klav have a set of Sifrei Nach. Who else would have Sifrei Nach? Tan Rabban, Hashol Sifrei Torah Mechavero, Hareza Lo Yashilen La Acher, Uposcha Vakorabo, Vlachal Yilmobo, that if you borrow Sifrei Torah from someone else, you shouldn't lend it to a third party, and you should open it up and read from it, but you shouldn't learn something brand new that you never learned before, because that's likely going to ruin it, because you're going to spend so much time on the new material. And you also shouldn't read from it together with someone else. And if you're mafkid a sefer Torah by someone else to watch, go look that he's got to roll it once every year. He opens it and reads it. In bishvilo psacho, if it's for his own limud and not for the tzorach of the sefer that he opened it up, aser. Then that's aser. You're not allowed to do that. Sumchus Omer bechadosh shloshim yom. That if it's a brand new sefer Torah, so you have to open it every 30 days. Biyashan, if it's an older sefer Torah, so the ink is more settled, the letters are less likely to become rubbed out. So shemas chodesh. Then every 12 months. Reb Lozman Yaakov Omer echodzev shemas chodesh. That whether it's a new sefer Torah or an old sefer Torah, every 12 months it should be rolled through. Amr Mar, so we had said that Ashol Sefer Torah Chaver is Aliyah Shulen Leacher, that if you borrow Sefer Torah from your friend, you shouldn't lend it out to a third party. Ma'ir is Sefer Torah. That's not only about a Sefer Torah. I feel called Milinami. Anything you borrow from someone else, you're not supposed to lend out to a third party. How do I know that? Amr Shimon Lakish. It's a Gemara in Gittin. It's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says that if you send a get in Eretz Yisrael, you're Mishalcha B'Yad Acher. But if the Baal says to the Shliach that before you give this get to my wife, wife, I want you to retrieve some object that she's holding on to that belongs to me, whatever, my favorite, whatever, that's still in the house. Get that back for me before you deliver the get. So in such a case, the shliach is not allowed to send another shliach in his place, because the bailim is making him a shomer on the pikadon that he's getting from the isha. And I want you to watch my pikadon. I don't want someone else watching my pikadon. So you see that that if you're trusted to watch a pikadon, you can't just give it to someone else. So kan shon rabbi eina shol rashi lahashil veina socha rashi lahaskir. That if I borrow something, I can't lend it to someone else. If I rent something, I can't rent it out to somebody else. So how come our brisa says that dafka by a sefer Torah? It's not only by a sefer Torah. It says more a sefer Torah. It's shrichle. It's a chiddush by a sefer Torah that mal detem nichle linishtus of mitzvah monei kamash malan. Because I would have thought by a sefer Torah he'd be very happy for you to lend it out to somebody else, because we have a chazaka that people are very happy to have mitzvos done with their money. So I would think that he'd be perfectly happy for a sefer Torah to be loaned out. So kamash malan that he's not happy with that. That sugi is really a psachim sugi within shloshim yom. The sugi of nichle linishtus of mitzvah monei. In the first paragraph of Pesachim, it says that if a person rents a bayis, the cheskas shu baduk, with the understanding that there would be a bedikas chametz already done in the house, and it turned out that it was not searched for chametz, it's not a mekach ta'us. And that's true even where the local custom is to pay for bedikas chametz, to pay for someone a cleaning service to clean out your house, because nichle lin shav mitzvah monei. We assume a person is very happy to pay for such things, that he should be doing mitzvos with his money. So that comes up in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch paskin simin yud dalin, that you're allowed to take someone else's talis and make a bracha, because you could assume that he'd be happy to give it to you as a matan al manas achzir, so that you could do the mitzvah. Nichle lin shav mitzvah monei. And the same with this tefillin. Shulchan Aruch says, but not with svarim, because svarim get torn, they get ripped, and that people are very protective of. So this is all based on the chazaka of the way people think. L'chora, now it would be flipped, right? Meaning nowadays people are much more protective probably of their tefillin than they are of their svarim. So the svarim, as long as you don't remove it from wherever it belongs, probably the chazaka is that you are allowed to borrow it. With tefillin, maybe not as clear of a chazaka. It depends. Depends on the person. If you know the person, maybe you'll be able to assess just how happy they would be for it to be used. Right? Sometimes you have a shtender which has a sign on it that says, please use the shtender. I'd be very happy for you to continue. So then the person made it clear it's nichol inishlov and mitzvah b'mamone. And sometimes you get the impression that people aren't so thrilled that you use their shtender. Okay, so it all depends on the chazaka. So poscha v'kari b'pshita. So it says, you can open up and read from it. Isn't that obvious that a person borrows sefer Torah, you're allowed to use it? That's what you're borrowing from. Why else would you have borrowed it? So sefer shrichle. Now the chiddush is that you're not allowed to learn something new from it. If you're mafkin a sefer Torah by your friend, you open it up once every 12 months and you read from it. Why is it that you're allowed to read from the sefer? You're not a shalal. You're only a shomer. If he was mafkin the sefer Torah v'su, and furthermore in bishvilo pesachol aser, that if you're opening it for your own purposes, it's aser. We said, but ha'amrit poschav v'karbo. But I thought you just said you're allowed to open it to read from it. Sachikamar im kishahu golulo poschav v'karbo muter in bishvilo pesachol aser. No, if when you're anyway rolling it, you want to read from it also, that's okay. But if you're opening it just for your own purposes, not for the purposes of the Sefer Torah, that's not okay. That a new Sefer Torah should be rolled every 30 days would be Yashan Shemasar Chodesh. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer Echad Zav Echad Zeh Shemasar Chodesh. That both new and old, it's every 12 months. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Hainu Tanakama. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is saying the same thing as Tanakama, that it's always going to be every 12 months that you roll the Sefer Torah. Now, Ela'ema, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, so the Tanakhama says you roll the Sefer Torah both new and old every 12 months. Then Sumcha says, no, depends whether it's new or old, 30 days or 12 months. And Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says both new and old every 30 days. So those are the three shitos. But I'll ask you, Stira, Liyikra Parsha V'Yishna, a person should not read a Parsha a second time, Liyikra Parsha V'Yitargim. You're not allowed to read a Parsha and be Metargimit, because the Sefer Torah is going to be open for too long if you're doing these things things. And you shouldn't open more than three columns at a time. And you shouldn't have three people reading from a single part of the Sefer Torah. But Hashnaim Karin sounds like two people. I'm not worried that it's going to get ripped, and I am allowed to have two people read it. But that's against our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said that with two people, I'm already concerned. So I'm Rabbi, lo kasha, kan bin yinechor, kan b'shnei inyanim. If two people are reading from the same section, then they'll start competing and fighting over it, and they'll tear it. But b'shnei inyanim, you don't have to worry with two people, you only have to worry with three people. Matzuksus minara achshoshim yom. You find clothing, you got to shake it out once every 30 days. Lememer denir malila. You think shaking out clothing is good for the clothing? V'am Rabbi Yochanan, didn't Rabbi Yochanan say, mishi yishol gard yuman b'toch peso yinar ksusa b'chol yom? That maybe if you have a professional weaver that lives with you, it's a good idea to shake out your clothing every day, meaning only if you have access to a lot of new clothing, because it's going to ruin it. So Amri b'chol yom kashila, ach shloshim yom malila. So answer number one is, it's bad to shake out the clothing every day, but every 30 days is beneficial to the clothing. Second answer, ibay se melo kasha, habichad, habitrei. When one person is shaking out the clothing, that's not mazik the clothing, but if two people are shaking it out, so they're pulling in different directions, that is mazik the clothing. Third answer, ibay se melo kasha, habiyada, habichutra. That the Mishnah is talking about when you shake out by hand, which is good for the baget, and the other is when you take a stick and you hit the clothing, which is bad for the baget. And the fourth answer and final answer, by same alokasha, habi da amra, where Rabbi Yochanan was talking about a beged made out of wool, that shaking it out is going to cause it to tear. And ha, the Mishnah says that it's a good thing to take out shake out the clothing, is bidichitana, is a beged of pishtan, where it's not going to tear, and therefore it's a positive thing to shake out such clothing. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll continue with more bits of advice from Rabbi Yochanan. Everyone have a wonderful day.